The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Well, last week we talked about the architect and the benefits of using one. Today I want to talk about the contractor. I've got, of course, a love affair with the architect, but the contractor, it's more of a love-hate relationship. Or at the very least, it's a relationship to be approached with caution. Last week, I talked about how the architect is an agent for the owner and is required by license to work on the behalf of the owner. The contractor works in their own best interest. And even the most ethical contractor pragmatically places his own needs first. They have, you know, their obligations to their company quite often are in conflict to their obligations to the owner. Most obviously, this is about money, but it can be the quality of your work or the scheduling. It's just first thing to understand about a contractor. And that being understood, unless you've got a tremendous interest in construction, unless you've got a lot of time and a lot of patience, I would not decide to be your own contractor. I would not embark on a significant construction project without a professional leading it. Okay, question is, how do you find a good contractor? Primarily through recommendations. These can be from friends, you know, people you know that the contractor has done work for. They can be from referral services, such as Angie's List. Problem with Angie's List, those referral services, is you don't know how real the referrals are, and you can't talk directly to a person. Good way to find a good contractor is you drive around your neighborhood and look for signs. If you see the same contractor's sign a lot in your neighborhood, it probably means that they have done a good job and they've gotten referrals from others. Signs are probably the best form of advertising a contractor or an architect has. And, you know, it's easy to stop in at one of those jobs and ask the owner what they think. You know, I'd have a few questions ready, like, what are you happy with? And what have you learned? You know, are there things that you would not do that you did if you'd known before? So the referral is probably one of the best ways to find a contractor. The other best way is the architect referral. In my case, I've been almost 30 years in this field, and I've dealt with 100 contractors, 200 contractors. I've gotten an idea of who performs well on quality, on timeliness, and on cost. And if I'm going to recommend them, put my reputation on the line, then they have to have proven themselves in all three of these. Typically, when I'm talking to you about a contractor for a job, first of all, I won't give you one referral. I'll give you two or three or four. And they will be tailored to the type of job that you have. If it's a new house from the ground up, there's one type of contractor. If it's a renovation addition job, it could be a whole different type of contractor. The guy who does renovation addition well usually is used to working more closely with the owner, used to holding hands, hand-holding. And often if it's renovation addition, it's somebody who actually gets down there and does the work themselves. Each time with the contractor, you ask yourself, I ask myself, what matters to this owner? Is it quality of work? Is it timeliness? Get the job done in 3 months or my wife's going to leave me? Or is it cost? And you really recommend a different contractor for each one of those. The one thing from the owner's viewpoint that you want to watch out for, though, is how close of the ties are between the architect and the contractor. And you don't want the architect and the contractor, you want an arm's length relationship. You don't want them so closely tied. If they share the same office, there is not an arm's length between them. There's not the desired separation, professional separation between them. So you don't want that. And you don't want the contractor who gets all of his work from that architect or the architect who gets all of his work from that contractor. But as an architect, I'm also always looking for a new, good contractor. And because, they change. They may retire. They may get tired. They may be going through something in their personal life that takes their mind off the job. So always looking for another good contractor to put on your list. Whether it comes from referrals or from the architect, the things you normally look for in the contractor are, first, longevity. How many houses has he built? How long has he been in business? You may look at someone who's just getting started, but only if they offer you some other qualities, such as a better price. You look at the longevity of their employees and their subs. The best contractor, he's had the same employees for years, and the ones I recommend tend to have the same employees for decades. Same thing with the subs. They've used the same plumbing sub for years or the same electrician. You want to check that they're financially stable to the best you can determine that. If the guy has no, is using a P.O. box and has no normal address, probably not the person you should hire. And you want to get a sense of their emotional stability. As I said, the guy going through a divorce is not likely to focus on your job. So first things about how to select a contractor. And we're going to go to break soon, but when we come back, I'll talk to you about the three warning signs of things you shouldn't, that you should watch out for in selecting a contractor. And let me see. Yes, let's wait and do that after we come back from break.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
We are in the midst of a global sovereign debt crisis that could lead to the ultimate risk for the world economy, the removal of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. What will this event really mean to the markets? And more importantly, what does it mean for you and your family? Listen to Global Currency Watch with your host, Stephen Ayer, to get a full and objective look at the world's sovereign debt crisis and help you prepare for when the crisis envelops the United States. Global Currency Watch airs live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Welcome back. I can remember talking about recommendations from friends and from people you know. Recently, I did a very complex project and had two contractors that I know very well and can recommend for their both the quality of their work, but also their cost efficiency. So I asked both of them to give me a price on this job. At the same time, the owner got from one of his colleagues the name of another contractor who he said was really good and wanted to make sure that he was included as well. And as is often the case, people tend to like the recommendations from their friends. In this case, got the three contractors, gave them a very complete set of plans and specifications for the job, and waited for the numbers to come back. One of the contractors I recommended, I had told the owner that the job was going to cost about $300,000. One of the contractors I'd recommended came back with a price of $285,000. That's really good. One of the other contractor that I had recommended came back with a price of $300,000. Good. And the third contractor recommended by the friend, the colleague of the owner, came back with a price of $550,000. He was about 80% higher. And it was a legitimate price. You can pay almost anything for a construction project, and it can be justified no matter what the cost is. So it always pays to get more than one price, and an initial cut on the contractor isn't just whether you like them, but it's also how much he's going to cost you. And along those lines, if over time I learn which contractors would do a good, high-quality job in a timely manner, if they aren't going to do that, I don't even want them giving a price on the job. You don't want someone cheap who's also low quality or takes too long. But that being said, it's nice to get a high quality job done in a timely manner at the best price. And even the best contractors, you can't tell by price who is the best contractor. That guy who, you know, his bid was 80% higher, he would not necessarily have done any better of a job than one of the other two contractors. The owner just would have paid a lot more for it. So more money does not necessarily mean a better job or a faster job. Now, told you there are three situations to watch out for in selecting the contractor. The first one is quite typical. People will be going to open houses or they'll drive through a neighborhood and they'll see a house they like. They like the house and, you know, the contractor meets them, shows them his spec house, and they like the guy. Well, the assumption is, well, this house is nice, so this is a good builder. Maybe not. You cannot tell from looking at that house they built whether he's a good builder or not. You can tell they did a good job on that house for what it was. And there, understand, a lot of the builders who build spec houses, they're good spec house builders. They're not good custom home builders. In the spec house, you don't have to talk to the owner. You don't have to deal with them. And a lot of these builders really do not like talking to the owner. Also, when they do work on a spec house, it's done on their money and their way. When they do work on your house, it's done custom home, it's done with your money and your way, and there may be two totally different attitudes approaching that. So looking at a house and thinking, oh, that's a nice looking house, so that must be a good contractor, doesn't answer the question of quality, timeliness, and cost. Also doesn't answer the question of how that contractor would work with an architect and owner. It's one situation to be wary of. Second one is a big one. Don't hire a friend. You've got a friend who's a contractor or a brother-in-law who's a contractor. Approach that with extreme caution. There's a whole lot of ways which a construction project can go bad. And when they do go bad, well, the best way to keep them from going bad is to keep an arm's length, business-like relationship. If something does go bad, the best way to sort it out is with an arm's length, business-like relationship. If you do choose to use a friend, there are two options. If I do work for a friend, I'm going to make sure, because that is my friend, that I will work harder than I would for anybody else, and I would do a better job. That's one of the two alternatives that could happen. As a friend says, this is my friend, I'm going to do a great job for them. The other alternative is the contractor says, this is my friend. Oh, I can relax. You know, he won't complain if I take it easy. and my quality isn't so good, or maybe my price is a little higher. He's my friend, so it will all be okay. That's a terrible way to go, but I've seen that happen. And I've seen the construction process destroy friendships. Probably the worst job that I ever dealt with on a contractual basis was a house I did at least 10 years ago. This is an extremely nice house for a very upscale professional couple. Their kids went to a private school with a contractor who was also very upscale and lived in, you know, the same nice neighborhoods. Their kids were really good friends. And this friend was going to build the house for the couple. Was going to build the house. Well, the owner said to me, said, you know, my friend is building the house. I've got real confidence in him. He's going to look out for me. And I don't need to pay you, the architect, to watch over the job. The job was, the house was built, the house looks beautiful. The job was a disaster. The second attitude that I spoke about, it's my friend, so I can be a little more relaxed on the job. When they were pouring concrete, the friend contractor was at the beach. So they poured the concrete foundations 3 feet too high. When they ordered the windows, the friend contractor didn't notice that the window orders, all of the windows were 2 inches more narrow than what was called for on the plans. So that big bank of windows becomes much more walled than it was supposed to be. Those were errors of being relaxed, not as attentive. On top of that, the Cadillac HVAC system I designed for the house became a low-rent Chevy with no money credited back. In a number of small ways, quality details kind of disappeared, or the owner was told, you don't really need to do that, with no money credited back. The contractor tried to charge him $30,000 for raising the driveway up because the house was now sitting 3 feet further out of the ground. At the end of the job, the friend had, well, at the end of the job, the owner was trying to decide whether to sue his former friend for, you know, well over $100,000 for additional charges or deductions from the job. That's one reason. Whenever you say, oh, it's my friend, they will take care of me, there's too much money involved. There's too much business involved for this to be a friendship thing. This is a business thing. Then the third way, that the third warning about how to select a contractor is the realtor recommendation. There's an old TV show called Lost in Space. And on it, there's this robot that runs around waving his arms back and forth, going, warning, warning, warning. You should picture that anytime a realtor recommends a contractor. Could all be above board, could all be just because they really believe in that contractor. But usually, when the realtor recommends a contractor, they will turn around and charge the contractor 5% of the construction price for recommending them. And the contractor will, in some way or other, pass that on to the owner. So if the realtor recommends a contractor, quite likely you just spent 5%. The other thing you have to, the other qualification there is that the realtor is recommending the contractor often is based on who they have an arrangement with, you know, who they've worked out this marketing setup with, and not necessarily who they think is the best contractor. Conversely, if it's the architect who's recommending a contractor, I can't make a penny off of it. If I made any money off of that recommendation, I'd lose my license. So not only do you get from the architect a recommendation based much more on quality, timeliness, and cost efficiency. I'm trying to think of the other side part of this. Not only the quality, timeliness, and cost efficiency, but the recommendation from the architect doesn't cost you a penny. And hopefully, by giving someone who's more quality, timeliness, cost efficiency, they'll actually save you money. Okay, when we come back, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to get into what actually is a contractor and how is a contractor different from a builder? Aren't they the same thing?
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to ask a direct question to a private investigator? If so, you'll want to listen for the Private Eye Nightline with private investigator John Ciacchio. John and his guest experts will answer your questions about infidelity, drug issues, custody, restraining orders, and more. Sometimes there are sensitive issues involving a family member or other loved one. We're here to help. The Private Eye Nightline is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Listening to women of all races talk about how they have thought of dating outside of their races shows there's a current trend in interracial relationships that should be explored. Tune in to Interracial Relationships. Where do you stand? What's on your mind? Your host, Flora Pickett Coley, will speak to experts and individuals who are involved in interracial relationships. Our goal is to have open discussions on the issues. Listen every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Welcome back. Okay, you've heard the words contractor and builder and used interchangeably. They're a little bit different, but what is a contractor? Exactly what it sounds like. He contracts for others to do work. It could be he contracts for his own forces, his carpenters, his plumbers, etc., or subcontractors. And a lot of contractors, all you really they need is a pickup truck and a telephone. All the work is done by subcontractors, other people who don't work directly for him. Or it can be a sophisticated operation. He can have superintendents, the following, the individual jobs, office personnel, accountants, a whole bunch of people working for him. But the contractor, he arranges work, he arranges things, he organizes things, he contracts. It's can be quite frustrating. He schedules the work of others. He makes sure they show up at the job, and he makes sure that they do what they've agreed to do. And primarily, as a contractor, he has clean hands. He may have worked his way up, from digging the ditches, but at this point, his hands are clean. He holds a phone and a computer much more than he does a shovel or a hammer. The contractors I like best are usually small operators. First of all, guys who have, like me, 30 years of experience, who grew up in construction, who've worked all of the different jobs, and they understand when you're talking about, waterproofing a wall. I went to a contractor who has waterproofed the wall before, and he knows what goes into it. And if he's been doing it for 30 years, he knows how it can fail. So therefore, he knows what to watch out for. I tend to like small operators because you deal more directly one-on-one with the contractor, and because they have less overhead, they usually cost less money. I can remember one job that I bid out a few years ago. We had the one-man operation bidding it, who, subcontracts everything. And we had the company that has its own supervisors and office personnel and in-house crews and subcontractors. Well, when I got back the numbers, the supervision line item for the big company was larger than the carpentry labor line item for the small company. With the big company, it was going to cost more money to supervise a job than the small company was going to do pounding the nails. It's not always the case, but it can happen that way. The other interesting thing about contractors is that they are strong personalities. If you think about it, they're alpha types. Even the female contractors are alpha types. If you think about it, they started out in their teens working construction, often because they didn't, they don't get along with people that well, and so they can't work in an office. So they start out working construction on the crew. Well, the alpha dog, the strongest guy there, becomes the crew chief, the foreman. And the strongest, most dominant crew chiefs become the contractors. So you end up that the people who end up being contractors are strong alpha personalities. And often they achieve, they're successful because they have the ability to force people to do what they said they would do when they said they would do it. Contracting is very frustrating because a lot of the people you deal with, a lot of the subs and a lot of the workers aren't really happy being there and often aren't really happy performing. So the contractor has to be strong enough to get them to perform what they said they would do when they said they would do it. That's a contractor. A builder is a bit different. It's the same guy, but a bit different. When I think of as a builder, a builder still straps on the tool belt. Typically, he has a small crew, and he works right beside his crew. You know, in the evening, he'll go home and he'll make phone calls and he'll arrange for the next day's work. He'll contract. But during the day, he's out there swinging the hammer and he's out there directing the work. Usually, he's an expert carpenter, a master carpenter. When you think about it, for a small renovation addition job, the builder is a much better choice than the contractor. He's far more flexible. He's far more hands-on on the job. And it's a bunch of little pieces he can address a whole lot easier than the contractor who has to do everything secondhand through some sub. The builder is a craftsman. He's out there not because this is a great business. I've actually seen bankers become contractors. But a builder typically starts out as a craftsman, and what he enjoys doing most is the work. If you think about it, a contractor can put a lot of product in place quickly. He can contract and get others to do a lot of work in a short period of time, and he can make a lot of money. A builder is out there doing the work himself, smaller scale, hands-on. Generally, he doesn't make nearly as much money as a contractor, but he has a lot greater satisfaction. Well, he could have. One of my good friends for years was a very successful contractor who, when he became 65, he retired, turned the business over to his son, and then he spent a year in my house just building things. He loved being a carpenter, hated being a contractor. How does a contractor make money? As I've suggested, he makes money by putting product in place. Materials, you know, materials and labor. And he charges a percentage fee to manage that. Usually it's between 12 and 25%. So how does he make money? Not directly off the materials and labor, but he gets a percentage overhead on that material and labor. So typically, if you receive a bill for $100 from a contractor, $80 goes directly to materials and labor. It flows through to somebody else. $20 or so stays with the contractor. So, you know, you see these great big huge numbers, $100,000. Well, the contractor isn't getting $100,000. He's getting $15,000, maybe $20,000 at most. So he's really making a lot less money than you think on the job. But it's still significant because we're talking about big numbers. So when we come back, more about how, you know, the contractor makes money and how he makes money makes a difference to how much money you spend.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention, live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
We were talking about how does a contractor make his money. I told you, if he bills you for $100,000, he's getting about $15,000 of it for his work. In that $15,000, he's paying for his cost of operation. It's his salary, the salary of his other supervisory personnel, office workers, insurance, accounting, all of that. Generally, as a percentage of the work, that's about 10 to 15% that it costs him just to keep his doors open and operating. If he's charging you 12 to 20%, that means his actual profit above what is a decent salary. He may pay himself a base salary of $60,000, $80,000. Some decent salary, but his actual profit is about 2 to 5% on the job. Turner Construction, the biggest construction company in the world, building construction company, makes about a 2% profit on the work that they put in place. As you can see, just thinking, any screw up or flaw in the work, and that profit disappears. So builders work very hard to protect their overhead. They work very hard to protect their profit because they've learned from bitter experience that it can disappear quickly. The contractor's paid for putting product in place. The faster he puts product in place, the more money he makes. If he puts $100,000 worth of product in place in 1 month, he makes more than if he puts $100,000 of product in place in 2 months. So the faster he puts product in place, the more money he makes. Therefore, there's an absolute incentive for the builder to work quickly and not to hold things up. There are competing forces that tend to slow down work and make it slower. Subcontractors may not feel the same urgency that the contractor does. And they may have competing demands where, you know, they give more attention to the other job. Decisions by the owner can slow a job down. And this is one of the big, in custom home building, one of the big reasons that a job gets slowed down is the owner doesn't make a decision in a timely manner. And once there's a hitch in the schedule, it may be a two-day hitch, but the reverberations can be 2 weeks or 2 months down the road. building inspectors can hold up jobs. And getting the building inspector out there, because you can't insulate until he inspects the framing. And then lastly, weather. Especially when you're digging a foundation, if it rains every 3 days, you can't do anything. So those are the forces competing with the contractor. And the more delays there are, the less money the contractor makes. Now, the other thing that affects how much you pay in overhead to the contractor is who takes the risk. If it's a cost-plus job, meaning whatever it costs materials and labor, the contractor just adds on his overhead and bills you. In that case, the risk for what the job costs is all on the owner. The contractor doesn't take that risk. He should get paid less. He should get paid 12 to 15% as an overhead. If the risk is on the contractor, where he has given you a fixed price for the work, and you've got a well-defined set of documents about what the work is, then the risk is with the contractor to get the work done within that price. And he will charge you, should charge you more money for that. He should charge you 15 to 20% instead of 12 to 15, because he's taking the risk instead of the owner. I've looked at this for years, and the question is, why can't you look to the contractor to save money? You know, the contractor has no incentive to save money. His job is easiest when he's using the subs that he trusts and that he's used for years. His job is easiest when he gets his materials from his normal supplier, who's, you know, worked with him for years and is reliable. There's no incentive there in how a contractor makes money for him to push his subcontractors or his suppliers for a better price. If he's going to push them, he's going to push them on the spec job that he does for himself. Because if he's spending his own money, then he has an incentive to push his subcontractors and his suppliers. If he's spending your money, he doesn't. So the best time to push a contractor for a better price, the best time to get the best price from a contractor, is before you sign the contract. And almost always, it is when he feels he's in competition to get that contract. Once he's got the contract, once it's signed, you're going to pay top dollar for everything, because there's no incentive for the contractor to do anything else. Getting the best price on an item of work, you know, what does that mean? Well, it takes time. It takes hours of effort on somebody's part. It takes risk. It may be using somebody new that he hasn't used before, and lower cost may mean lower quality, which all comes back to him because he's guaranteeing the quality. So getting the best price on an item of work has a negative return on effort for the contractor. He's paid a percentage of the cost, so that if he lowers the cost, he lowers the money he gets. And what I found and was amazed at, though, is everything you purchase for yourself on a job, you will get a better price than the contractor. First of all, because often you're not paying him 15% over and above, but also because to get the best price on something, it takes a lot of effort. and you have to beat the bushes, you know, you have to, and they don't want to do that. They want to call their normal supplier and order from the normal channels. I did a house recently and we used custom doors, custom interior doors, which is a great thing. I think people really notice on a house are doors. So that's where you should spend money. Anyway, all of the interior doors are these beautiful custom mahogany doors. If the contractor purchased those doors, he'd pay $600 to $700 per door. The owner beat the bushes, went online, and found a supplier who sold them to him for $300 a door. The owner could buy them for $300, the contractor would pay $600 or $700. On any given item, the contractor will almost always pay a higher price than the owner. Even if you're talking lights, which I usually have the owner buy the lights directly. If you walk into a lighting store and say, I want the contractor price, they'll give it to you. You're buying a whole house full of lights. Of course they'll give you the contractor price. And especially appliances. Buy your own appliances. There's no advantage to having the contractor buy them. The appliance dealer goes out and installs them. And if there's something goes wrong, if you bought them yourself, you can call the dealer yourself and get service instead of going through the contractor. Oh, this is running very close. So let me wrap up just by saying, long wrap up. I really like and respect contractors. They work very hard at a very difficult job. And it's often an unpleasant job. And it's a job that can have a whole lot of nasty surprises to it. And so I like and respect contractors. I've learned to use them on jobs for their expertise. Not have them design a job, but have them construct a job. And they should make a good living. I believe the contractor absolutely should make a good living off of your job. But he doesn't need to make a great living off of your job. The best situation that you have with the contractor is before, to get a good price, is before the contract is signed. Once the contract is signed, finish that part. Now you're working together to produce a great house. Quickly, before we leave, next week, I got some emails. What they like best is the stories about houses. Well, I've built two great houses for myself, and they've been experiments in how to use materials and experiments in how a family should live. And I think they've turned out terrifically. Next week, I'll talk about those houses. And it's really great that while you're listening to me on Voice America, you can also put on my website, StephenClippArchitecture.com, and you can look at the houses I'm discussing. My mountain house is on there, the Brown Bear Lodge. It's small, you know, it's really not big, but it's one of the most incredible spaces. I was up there this week, and it's one of the most incredible spaces to be in. And I'd really like you all to see it. Thank you, and I'll see you next week. We'll talk about Brown Bear Lodge. We'll talk about my house in Chapel Hill and some ideas that you can use to make your house better. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.